Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
And we're inside the last hour here at the Daytona International Speedway for the 2022 season opener for the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. That's Jeremy Shaw and John Heindorf in the booth. It's all action, and it has been, well, pretty much since the start. Yes, we've been punctuated by yellow flags, but my goodness, that long 6 hour plus chunk of green,
yeah, 5,000 really, I wrote it down somewhere, where did I write it down,
in from GTD stops coming in, the two Pro cars, two Porsche Pro cars and the Wright Motorsport Pro AMP car as well into the pit lane. Shea Adam,
Jan Halen, fuel, and yes, tires. These look like, they look like scrubs as well. There's a spinner out on the track. This could be a yellow. Brilliant timing for the Porsche brigade as they come in all together. It was fuel and tires for the, yeah, the Porsche posse. Thank you for that one, John. I'll give you full credit for that. Fuel and tires for the FAF Porsche. That's a lot of P's right there. And no driver change there. I think it was no driver change for Lawrence Vanthoor. He gets moving before the FAF Porsche does. But the fat Porsche beats him out easily. Engine revving for Jan Halen. Away he goes. No, no, no. Nearly a collision with the hardpoint Porsches. That one was going into its box. They both managed to jam on their brakes and come to a halt. But my heart just skipped a beat there.
It's the T3 Racing Lamborghini off at the International Horseshoe for Giacomo Altoe. So that is still stationary at the moment, I think. Let's see if that car can get going again. Joe Bradley, you watched the GTD Pro stops.
I watched the number 9 FAF Porsche. I think Shea mentioned there, no driver change and tyres and fuel. I'm now at the 62 Ferrari Rissi Comitacioni pit, and they're readying tyres and fuel. For a moment there, I thought they weren't going to go with tyres and maybe shave a few seconds off.
Full course yellow for the Lamborghini at turn three. Well, now, this is amazing. 51 minutes to go. The Pilotti number 19 Lamborghini in that salmon pink colour has brought out another full course yellow. And all of that tactics now, rip it up, throw it out the window. 51 minutes, you can't make your last stop here, Jeremy. What do you do if, well, you've just stopped at the front of the field? Great timing by the Porsches and GTD Pro and GTD. They might, with a bit of yellow, be able to go to the end from here. Surely they will be, with only 50 on the clock. Yeah, can't imagine the GTD's coming in again.
We're more than half an hour from the end of the race, but we're more than half an hour after the previous yellow, so there will be the full pit stop sequences to go through, but this will certainly play into the hands of that number 30. It depends how long this caution is, basically. We've got 50 minutes to go right now. It's likely to be at least 15 minutes, so that's going to leave us, what, 35 to go to the end. That's going to be a stretch for all these cars. So we'll see everybody into the pit lane now. So I think it should be fairly even there. For the GT cars, they can definitely get to the end from here with no problem. The number 62 car stayed out. So that will still need a pit stop. Number 14 car did come in. Number 62 car was running in third place. That's a Rissi Competizione Ferrari. So that now leads after the two Porsches,
oh, wow,
9 and
yeah,
2, came in,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
to,
yeah,
the pits.
Hasn't made its last stop yet, though, that car.
Correct.
Right, okay.
And in the GTD regular, the 21 car will lead ahead of the number 44, and then the number 16, but the 16 car is the only one of those three that has already made its last stop.
Yeah, understood. It was very tight in the pit lane when the Wright Motorsport, the light blue number 16 car, Shea Adam, it was very tight indeed with the hardpoint car coming through that area of the pit. Lynn, was there actually contact there, Shea? You were watching that.
No, thankfully there was no Porsche contact. But it was an unsafe release. The good news for Wright potentially is that the last time there was an unsafe release penalty issued, it was just a warning. So if the precedent is followed, it should just be a warning for the 16.
A balmy 12 degrees in the air, 32 Celsius on the track. We've already got the Lamborghini from TR3 Racing under tow, so that's very good news. We Race Control have been asking repeatedly for the cars to pack up as quickly as possible as the pass around is starting now. They want to get this done as quickly as possible for obvious reasons. Get back to green as quickly as possible. So it will be at the front of the field, Elio Castroneves that leads from Loic Duval. What a run from that last pit stop for Loic. What was it, 9-10 laps where he was really on it. That car very strong, Jeremy. The number 5 JDC Miller Motorsport Cadillac, the Mustang sampling machine, very strong at the start of its stint. Very strong indeed with Loic behind the wheel.
Yeah, true enough. And he's got that car up into second place, made a pass from Ricky Taylor. And that's not an easy thing to do, as anybody will tell you who's braced against Ricky Taylor. He's not an easy guy to pass, particularly when there's a Rolex 24 and a Rolex watch on offer. And he knows what it feels like to have that watch on his wrist. He's got two of them already. His teammates Philip Albuquerque has three, two overall wins and a class win, and Alexander Rossi has one also from last year. They were all part of the winning team last season. For Will Stevens, he doesn't know what it feels like. So he's in the pit there, just biting his nails and hoping that Ricky can pull it off. But he's running in third position at the moment then. So it's Elio Castroneves, who was also part of that winning team last season. So he's looking just to continue that remarkable streak that took the 46-year-old to a win. That was 45 then. To a win here at Daytona. A win at Indianapolis. And can he make it three classics in a row? Don't put it past him, do you?
Well, no.
If anybody fired up, talk about exactly.
Yeah, still hungry. It's that to me is one of the great delights of talking to Elio Castroneves. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind that he is genuinely excited by racing every time he gets into a race car. I don't care what category it is. I don't care what car it is. I don't care if it was a Saturday night in Maine somewhere, or he's here at one of the classic, all-time classic endurance races. He really just wants to go out there and drive and give his best and try and win the race. When you consider what he's achieved, Jeremy, to sit back and slightly phone it in, you know, it's just not in his nature.
Yeah.
It is not in his nature. You've already got to see how seriously he takes everything out of the car that's competitive as well. Ah, brilliant. Absolute role model for young drivers, I would say.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Very, very true. And in LP2, we've got four cars on the lead lap. Guido van der Garde in that Racing Team Netherlands entry had been lapped, put one more lap down by the race leader, but not by, more crucially, by the class leader. So we've got number 81, the number 8, the number 52, and the number 29 all on the lead lap and battling for honours. In LMP3, number 74 car still has a one lap edge over number 54 and 33 still.
Joe Bradley is in the pit lane. The start of the pit lane is where most, the pit in end is where most of the leading DPIs are pitted, although not in consecutive pits, I don't think. There is a bit of a gap between them.
Yeah, get ready.
Joe Bradley, what's the attitude like? The pit lane is open. First three dive down. The 31 car's not coming in.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. That was a late move. I thought for a moment he wasn't coming in. Top four coming to you, Joe Bradley. It's down to the pit teams. 44 minutes to go. This is going to be tight.
Elio Castroneves just skirts by feet there as he brings the number 60 Meyer Shankar in for fuel. They've got tyres ready. Not sure why they're not putting that on. Fuel running for the 60. I look behind me, there's the Ricky Taylor-driven Konica Minolta car. And the 31, the Whelen Engineering Cadillac, gets out ahead of the number 10 Acura. And Ricky Taylor gets underway. So there's a change in the pit lane.
I think there was tyres, at least two tyres, for the Konica Minolta car. Shea Adam has the LMP3s.
Interestingly, the leader does not come down the pit lane, meaning that the 74, what is known as the Ranch Resort car, will not be coming down the pit lane, trapping all the other cars down a lap as well. The red light was on at the pit exit. All four of the DPIs that came down to visit and all four that want to win the watch and still can obey that edict. But it is Colin Brown in for Core Autosport in the 54 Ligier. Four tires and fuel. They're giving him the mission to go out and do the best job he can. But second is a lot better than where they were last year.
Joe Bradley. Tactics, even at this stage, strategy, a flexible strategy we talked about in our Porsche Keys to Race and the Michelin Countdown to Green, sort of this time yesterday, actually, what was going on down at Konica Minolta Windtail Racing. Joe?
Yeah, I've just confirmed from Wayne Taylor there, two tyres went on the number 10 Acura, so you were spot on with your observation.
Love it. Absolutely love it. 42 minutes to go. Oh, this is fuel safe to get to the end here.
Well, yeah, it's going to be a while yet before we go back to green. So I think they should be okay. I think on fuel to get to the end. And of course, the number 31 car, that was the last car to pit. They took that gamble to go a bit longer. If there'd been a full course caution before they pitted, they would have been in trouble. But then, because of that, they needed a little bit less fuel than those other cars, particularly than the number 5, which came in five laps before, so needed five laps less fuel. Certainly, that's a quarter of a tank, because
yeah,
we're doing
20,
you know, almost, we're doing 21, perhaps 22 laps here.
That's a good point.
And 1, 2, 3 laps less fuel than the number 10 car as well. That's why number 31 car was able to get into second place from fourth, which is where it came into the pits.
Joe Bradley down in the pit lane. Let's take the opportunity for a couple of interviews. Ben Barnicott is with Joe.
Ben, hi. You're a Daytona experience then?
It's been great, to be honest. It's been pretty frantic from start right up until now. We've managed to keep it clean the whole way. Our Lexus RCF GT3 has been performing well, and we're at the front. Hopefully Jack's going to give it all he's got. I don't hope. I know he's going to give it everything he's got. We've worked hard to be here as an organisation, and now it's all it's where it counts.
Down at the far end of the pit lane, waiting for second in GTD to come make a final stop. This is the 21 AF Corse Ferrari. No sign of Nicholas Nielsen vacating the cockpit, even though the more than capable Finn Tony Vallander is one of the other drivers in the lineup. They are doing fuel and at the very least right side tires, but they also have, nope, they're going to do all four. These are sticker tires, brand new, have never touched the surface of the earth before. Well, there we go. Now they're on the Ferrari. Car is dropped off the air jack. Well, it should have been dropped off the air jack now, but they were having trouble with the front left tire change, as a matter of fact. Now the new tire goes on the front left. Windshield tear off for Nicholas Nielsen. Tire change is done. Fuel nozzle is still attached. Waiting, waiting, waiting. There comes the safety car train, which means that the light at pit exit will be closed. Away goes Nicholas. Light is still green. The Ricci Ferrari beats him back out onto the track. The light is still green. I don't understand that. The safety car train was going by.
I think it was because the last car was going to be by the time they got there, and that actually is exactly what's happened. There was no danger of those cars emerging into the safety car train, and it's still full course yellow anyway, so they will catch back up again. So the last car, I think, had crossed the last car on the train had crossed the start finish line. That would be my take on that. Neither of the two leading Porsches in GTD Pro stopped there, so Jack Hawksworth has gone up into third position. It means Austin Cindric couldn't stay out and get the lap, a lap of two that he is down at the moment back for Proton USA, so he pitted. No point in trying There was no way he was going to get the lap back because the leaders stayed out. None of the P2 cars.
In P2, yeah, they all came
in. Yeah, they all came in, that's right.
Yeah, so they went out, though, in a different order. They came in the order 81, 8, 52,
yes,
29.
That's what I was just looking at.
They left in the order 8, 81, 52, 29. So the top two have exchanged positions during that pit stop. And Louis Delatraz ahead of Colton Herta at the restart.
Final wave by happening right now. Great turnaround. We're going to be somewhere near 35 minutes. You were spot on there, Jeremy. And we've only had a couple of laps of safety cars since they're fueled up. I think it's going to be okay. We should have full throttle, full rich, full commitment to the final checkered flag here.
Yes, it's... it's certainly they're going to have to keep their eyes open. They'll need every drop of fuel.
Oh yes,
I think. But they should all have pretty much the same amount on board those cars. I think to go to the end. So it was the number 18 car just going behind the pit wall, by the way, which is sixth in the class, and that's going to fall to seventh, I think, because Phil Hansen, number 22 car, is going to go past it next time around. So number 18 car, that is for Era Motorsports, sixth in class in LMP2.
We've got a car coming down the pit lane. It's the 31 Whelan car coming in again here.
And so is number 5.
And the
both
5.
Cadillacs.
So both Cadillacs are coming in for a splash. Joe Bradley, I take it there's no tyres down there.
No tyres. I'm at the number 5 pit now. The Mustang Sandling car pulls up in front of me. It is purely fuel. And that's not so much
interesting.
It really was a splash and dash. And the 31 gets out ahead, fractionally out ahead. So just a top up of fuel there from both of the 31 and the number 5.
They... Algarve Pro Racing LMP2 just having to wait for those two cars, so they've done that. The final wave by is starting. There should be a prototype class split as well, so this helps those guys two ways. One, they've got a little more fuel, and number two, Jeremy, they I think this might add another yellow flag lap to what's going on.
No, I don't think it'll add a lap. This is not going to delay anything so far as race control is concerned.
Okay, DPI class split is ongoing.
Yeah, so they've got to catch up pretty darn quick in order to be able to
take advantage of that. Yeah, good point.
And right now, where the leaders are going down the back straight, and those two cars that just pitted are headed towards turn 5 at a pretty rapid rate of knots.
I bet they are. I mean, great, because they get to put a bit more...
They should be,
They'll get it. No doubt they'll get to them. That should put a bit more heat into the Michelin tyres as well. The track temperature, 32 Celsius. Air temp, 11 Celsius. 36 minutes to go. And they need to boogie on by. Where is the safety car? It's still at the head of the field.
Yep, so
and there will be one more lap. Indeed. There will be one more lap. So they are going to get back to their position. Very interesting. So now of course, I don't think the Acuras can take the chance of doing that.
Oh, no.
And coming into the pit lane now, because we should be going green next time by. They're moving to the front with the second of the Algarve Pro Race car coming in,
it's a number 74. That's already a lap ahead of the field in LMP3. Just a kind of a security stop for them. They're not going to lose a position.
Yeah, I saw the orange there. Very good, Jeremy. Riley Motorsports, Felipe Fraga. And Bill Riley, seldom, shall we say. No, it is the tower car. Yeah, it is the tower car that's come in as well. And in the number 81.
All except the 29, actually.
Yeah, and Mikkel Jensen in as well. So Colton Herta, Louis Delatraz, Mikkel Jensen, all in for a splash of fuel.
Right. So they've got to pass Guido Vandergaarde. Well, that's not going to be that easy.
No. Steered out in their Racing Team Nederland car.
And they're going to have to hustle these guys.
Were they close on fuel? I must have thought they are.
Yeah, shouldn't be. I mean, the same as the prototypes ahead of them. They got a similar amount of fuel.
True.
Similar fuel range. Let's put it that way. 34 minutes to go. No, it's not. super easy.
Delatraz got out ahead of Colton Herta there. Tower Motorsport from Dragon Speed for
Piowa. He had been. He came in behind. Ahead. Okay. It was 8:81.52
cool.
As they came in. And the number 29 car of Guido van der Garde leapfrogged all of them because it didn't make a stop.
Well, Magnus Racing in their first outing with the Aston Martin, holding on to third position at the moment.
Yeah.
And Gilbert Cuthoff Motorsport just pitting there, having got back on the lap of third place, and the lead lap, in fact, that is.
That's correct, because the number 21 and the number 44 did come into pits on that sequence. Number 16 car had come in right before the caution period.
Magnus running a magnificent race with the new machinery. Just over half an hour to go. Well, coming up to 1:10 in the afternoon. And now we reset. The drivers have their last instructions. The pit crews have done what they have got to do. It should be a straight fight to the finish. And another lap of yellow. This must be because the prototype split was not completed.
No, that's up to the teams to get that split done. They wouldn't delay that restart for that.
Shea Adam, second in the queue of cars, and will stay second as they come across the line. Racing team Nederland, they are second in the queue. They did not pit last time around. Are they rolling the dice? Do
no,
they
they're
look
in
confident?
Now. They're
no,
in now.
Oh, they're in. They're the in. Car is in now, John. I walked over the wall and I asked, can you guys make it on fuel? And they said, well, no. So, yep, the car is in. It is a splash of fuel only for Guido van der Garde, but a miscommunication as to why he did not come in and pit with everyone else.
No. Fine. Yes. Thank you, Shea. So now they battle at the front of LMP2, Jeremias Tower, Dragon Speed, and PR1 Matheson. So that is Louis Delatraz, Colton Herta, Mikkel Jensen. Yes, I'll have the popcorn for that. Thank you very much indeed. And at the front of the field overall, Elio Castroneves, Ricky Taylor, Pete Maturana, Loic Duval. Loic Duval very quick at the start of the stint, coming down to 30 minutes to go. It'll be under that by the time we come back to the green flag, I think. Mathieu Jaminet for Pfaff Motorsport leads KCMG's Lawrence Vanter, 9-2 Porsches, Vassar Sullivan Lexus, Alessandro Perghidi, top four in GTD Pro on the lead lap. In LMP2, Louis Delatraz, Holton Curtis, Mikkel Jensen.
Holton Curtis, yeah.
And Guido van der Garde is still on the lead lap, but he's lost a bit of real estate. And in GTD, Jan Halen, EF Corsa's Nicholas Nelson, and that's Wright Motorsport Porsche, EF Corsa Ferrari, Magnus Racing, Aston. And further back down the queue, Gilbert Courtauld, Mercedes, back on the lead lap in GTD for Scott Andrews. Four different manufacturers in the top four in GTD, Jeremy.
Right.
Where's your money then?
Don't get too close to the walls, I would suggest. And you know,
Step back.
For the number 29 car, if that was an error not coming in, I might have been tempted to roll the dice there and stay out. If there is another caution, they're going to be able to reach the finish just fine.
Yeah. 30 minutes on the nose for the 2022 season opener. It is the 60th Rolex 24 Hours at Daytona. Castroneves weaving left to right through the tri-oval and down towards turn one. He's got a decent start, but not a great one. Here comes the second place Acura. Looks down the inside, a little bit of a lock-up there.
Yeah, almost nailed the back of the other sister Acura there and took them both out. That wouldn't have been good. He just locked her up and just avoided. That was a scary moment.
Dragon Speed car all over the place, trying to defend further back from the winds. Mikkel Jensen, PR1 Methods and Motorsport, and Loic Duval is slow off the track, I think. for the fourth place DPI car. The leaders down towards the Western Horseshoe. Pink and white leads it. Mayershank Racing with Kerb Agajanian. Elio Castroneves is a magician on cool tyres. Ricky Taylor tries to keep him in sight. There was a slight opportunity down at turn one, and we know Ricky Taylor likes to throw it in there. He's won it that way before, much closer to the finish than that.
Yeah, now, he certainly thought about it.
He did, yeah. A pass under yellow for car 54 drive through. Also for the number 21, that's second place in GTD drive through for Nicholas Nilsson. Yeah. And AF Corsa.
Yeah, and second place in LMP3 2 is the number 54 car. Actually, just, I think he lost the position there to Malthe Jakobsen in any case. That
Colin Brown. Yeah, yep. Absolutely right. So two significant penalties. Leaders across the line.
28 minutes remaining.
Leaders across the line at speed for the first time since the restart. Good crowd down towards turn one, sitting in the sunshine. In the famous grandstands there. That's one of my favourite places to watch. Love that. Down on the transition. Here comes the GTD battle to that area as well. Plaid Porsche from KCMG. Leaders getting very close together indeed. Now, what that was a little bit earlier on. That was what happened. The 31 of Pipo Durrani and Loic Duval disputing the exit of the international hairpin on the restart. Was the contact? Might have been there. Very close if it wasn't. So that one's going to be burbling away. 27 minutes to go. Live from Ditton International Speedway. Sirius XM 202. RS2 across the world. 107.9 here at the track. Jeremy Shaw with me, John Hindhoff in the Haggerty Global broadcast booth. It's Shea Adam and Joe Bradley in the pit. Under half an hour now. Castroneves, Ricky Taylor, Acura from Acura, Durrani and Duval, 31 Cadillac from 5 Cadillac. Nothing strategically now, Jeremy. This is all about the pace of the car and the skill of the driver.
Yeah, the final strategies have played out. It was no tyres, wasn't it, I think, for the Mayershank Racing Acura. Two tyres for the number 10 Acura of Konica Minolta, Wayne Taylor's team. And then the other two Cadillacs, Pipo Durrani and Loic Duval, who I think did change tyres. And they also came in to take a splash of fuel a couple of laps after the cars that are currently running in first and second. So they have a little bit more fuel on board, those two cars in third and fourth.
23 and a half hours since we went green, and it comes down to a full fuel, full rich, full excitement run to the checkered flag to decide the winners in classes and overall for the 60th Rolex 24 here at Daytona. The teams who have worked so hard through the more than 13 hours of darkness, they stand helpless now to do anything but watch the timing screens and the monitors and hope against hope that fate will fall their way and deliver them a shiny Rolex Daytona Cosmograph. The watch that has become legendary in motorsport circles, ironically designed to go to the moon, submitted to NASA for their space program. It didn't get the contract for that. That went to another manufacturer, but in its own right, it has become an horological classic. And no more so than the ones that you can't buy, the ones that you win here at Daytona International Speedway. 30 years Rolex have had their name on this race, half of the history of this race for the brand with the gold crown. And who will we be crowning champions this year? Two Acuras from two Cadillacs, Castroneves from Taylor, No challenge at the front of the field from Taylor so far. Remember, took two tyres. 0.8 of a second between them. 34.8, 34.8, 34.9, 35 flat. Nothing in the lap times between the top four. They're spread a second and a half between the top four. No challenges so far.
No, and in LMP2, again, less than a second between the top two contenders there, the 8 and the number 81. So it's Lewis Delatraz ahead of Colton Herter. The third-place car, Mikkel Jensen, he's just fallen back a little bit, 3 seconds or so, and Guido van der Garde can't quite keep that pace in a Racing Team Netherlands entry.
Not a cloud in the sky. Weather is not playing a part. The worry of the overnight cold temperatures didn't become as significant as we potentially thought. The track temperature now a toasty 33 Celsius. The Michelin tyres will be loving that. Plus, of course, we've got pretty much 4 days of running on this track now. All the series here this weekend running on Michelin rubber. So the track in its best condition for grip, as it has been since we came here over a week ago for the Raw Before the 24 with the qualifying session, the 100 minute run to set the grid, 4 free practice sessions and 23 hours and 10 minutes of racing have brought us to this. In GTD Pro, Porsche first and second, the new GTD Pro category, Pfaff Porsche with the plaid car have been battling with KCMG, which seems to be KCMG, the KC Motor Group, and seem to have been battling for most of the race, to be honest.
Yeah, haven't they? Yeah.
Now, do I detect the pin has been pulled by Elio Castro Neves? I'll watch his last lap time this time around. He just seemed a little more aggressive through the Le Mans chicane. They'll be looking at fuel numbers. They should be all right, but they'll be looking on the flasher. Elio Castro Neves, as he comes across the start finish line, got traffic ahead. Ferrari GTD right ahead of him, going down into turn number one,
right at the apex,
right where he didn't need it,
but
goes to the outside, has to take a little bit of curb.
Yeah, good job there by Nicholas Nielsen, Ferrari driver, excuse me.
There goes your chance of the new LaFerrari there, Jeremy. Straight down the back of the infield through the kink. I can almost feel the nervous excitement from the pit lane here. Let's check in with Joe Bradley and first Shea Adam, parking themselves among the top teams. Shea, everybody staring at the screen at the drama unfolding here.
Yeah, very intently trying very hard not to make eye contact with anyone and then get caused for jinxing anyone. But how about this stat? Simon Pagenaud has now started 21 races in the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. He stood on the podium 5 times, never on the top step. His best finish here at Daytona is 3rd. And he and I are very, very, very much not making eye contact right now.
Joe Bradley, the two Cadillacs splashed before the end of that last full course yellow. Wayne Taylor, impassive. He's got about, you can read him as well as you could read the Sphinx. You wouldn't play poker with him. But are the Acura teams noticeably more nervous than the Cadillac teams in this battle at the front of the field?
If they are nervous, they've got a great way of hiding it. I would not play poker with these guys. Everybody calm, just pensive, isn't it? I mean, I don't even look at people with fear of hexing them. So we're just going to have to let this play out. And you know what? When you're a team and when you're on that pit perch, your job is done. Right now, your job is done, and it's going to come down to the driver and your strategists can all put their slide rules away, because now it's pure. It's pure racing to the flag.
That's a good point, Joe.
Yeah.
They've done their jobs now.
And each of the last two laps, the fastest car on track has been the fourth place car of Loic Duval. 34.3, I think, both of those laps. 34.7 for the two race leaders, Castro Neves and Taylor. And 34.8 For Pipo Durrani, there's a gap between second and third is about a couple of seconds, but still there's less than a second between the two leaders, and it's not going to be long, is it, before they get themselves up amongst a knot of GT traffic.
Yeah, that's a good point, Jeremy. Where are they going to hit it? Well, they're through the Le Mans chicane, the cars, and they'll start catching them now on the high banks of Speedway turns 3 and 4. Good spot for Elior to go nice and high and start dealing with them. Here comes the black and blue car. Is there a hint of a aerodynamic drag, a bit of drafting as they come through the tri-oval and down towards turn one? Oh, it's not a good look down into turn one for the leader. He's blocked with two GTDs, and here comes the second place car right up behind, but there's no way through there. Do you go left or do you go right, Elior? He goes through the middle and threads the eye of the needle, and a big move down the inside into the International Horseshoe for the second place DPI of Ricky Taylor. Had to make that. Elior Castro Neves, not a hint of hesitation there, Jeremy. The road was blocked. Elior found a way through, and he's going to have to do it again, right in the grip of GTD traffic that is battling for position here. Remember, these guys are having their own scrap for positions, for points for the championship, for bragging rights at the end of this race in 18 minutes time.
Yeah, well, this is a tricky bit right now. This is the most difficult part of the race. 17 minutes to go. I don't think they'll catch the knot of cars again, so it'll just be occasional cars, I think, from there on, once they got past all of these GTD cars.
They have got the battle in GTD for the lead to get by. That's the next knot of cars that they have got to get by. Andy Lally is just up the road for Magnus Racing, and then there's 8 seconds. Andy's got a couple of cars behind him, but Andy Lally, and then there's a bit of a gap, about 8 seconds to Jan Halen. Leaders then, no quarter asked or given at this stage. Nothing to be left out there. Use it up, wear it out. How big is the gamble going to be? And again, the leader held up at turn one, going round the 44 the Hartley Racing Aston Martin, and held up again into the International Hairpin. That is the Magnus Aston Martin. Now, can there be an opportunity here? Which way does the Magnus car go? Stays to the right. Brilliant driving by Andy Lally. Heads up, you'd expect it from him. All pro veteran that he is, does not, despite him battling for a podium position, does not hold up either of the leaders.
He does not, but Loic Duval did get advantage over Pipo Durrani. He's up into third position. The Frenchman there in car number 5, that's the Mustang sampling car for JDC Miller Motorsports. He's up into third, got a couple of seconds to make up over the two Acuras that are out front, separated by, once again, 0.7 of a second as they cross the line. We talked about the fact they were doing 1 minute 34 second laps when they had clear air, last couple of laps in the 37s as they negotiate that GTD traffic.
Elior Castro Neves closer than ever. Ricky Taylor in behind him, down to under a second, and again Elior loves the high side, then straight back down to the yellow line, protecting the inside run. Right Motorsport Porsche on the tri-oval. Through goes Castro Neves in the pink and white Acura. The black and blue Konica Minolta car is there again, and for once Elior gets a clear run into turn one. But we've got the battle for the lead in GTD Pro right ahead of the battle for the lead in the other Pro class. And the overall, here it goes. This is a defining moment with 15 minutes to go. And Elior Castro Neves once again has to summon all of his wizardry behind the wheel to somehow find a way past two Porsches who are in the heat of a battle that's been going for hours. He goes down to the left-hand side of the KCMG, the blue and black car. And Lawrence Vanthoor saw him coming. Oh, there's a massive delay. Massive delay for the second-place prototype. The Konica Minolta Ricky Taylor car. Absolutely nothing Vanthoor could do there. Held his line. And Ricky Taylor stymied thwarted there as he went through that traffic. So advantage to Michael Shank's team, the MSR with Kerb Agajanian, Sirius XM. And the last 14 minutes on Sirius XM 202, 107.9 around the track. RS2, IMSA Radio at www.imsaradio.com, the home of Radio Show Limiter's content in sound and vision for IMSA WeatherTech and all the IMSA series once again for 2022. It's going to be traffic, but pockets of it, as Jeremy said, to the flag here.
Yeah, small pockets, I think, rather than big pockets. I don't think they're going to catch the main pack again, though, so I think it's going to be clean most of the way to the end, John.
Changed in third in GTD Pro. Alessandro Pergidi pulls the Risi competition car, the Ferrari, up to third place. I did have a couple of people saying to me that car was going to be quick at the end of the race, and Pergidi is on afterburners at the moment. He's got 7 seconds between himself and the two Porsches and 13 minutes. How close can he get? TGM in for a splash at the end of the race. Fine run for them yesterday. Actually, that might be a drive-through, although they are at that end of the pit lane. Yeah, it is. Late turn into their pit box. Under 13 minutes to go. Elio Castroneves and the rest of the MSR team willing that clock to count down just a tiny bit quicker. On the other side of that equation, the Konica Minolta Wayne Taylor team trying to slow it down to give them an opportunity. Ricky Taylor, as they go for four in a row for Konica Minolta Acura and Wayne Taylor Racing, two different manufacturers in amongst those four victories. The first Acura win last year, of course. Their first attempt at the 24-hour classic. Tower Motorsport down low on the apron there, and that is the leader in LMP2. Now, that's a mistake at the Le Mans chicane. Ooh. And there was side-by-side contact with the Dragon.
Yeah, that was the,
racing
that,
car.
That was for the lead of the race.
That was for the lead of that class.
Colton Herta to dive into the inside. Ooh. Into the Le Mans chicane. And side by side at
touch.
Turning point, I think there was, and yeah. All the way across the grass goes the number 8 car.
Elation in the Dragon pit.
That was a bold move there from Colton Herta. He was on the inside. It was always going to be the number 8 car that had a difficulty at that point in time.
Under review, that has to be at this stage of the race, of course. A drive through now would be
the end of a Rolex watch.
The end of any chance of it. And it would elevate Mikkel Jensen in second.
No action taken.
Wow.
It was a clean pass, I think. He was absolutely alongside him at the turning point. It looked like from the angle that we saw. We didn't see as many angles as race control either. So
true enough. Reviewed, no action. Ted Giovannis given the honour of bringing his own car, the number 64, to the checkered flag here at Daytona. Hugh Plum jumped out of the Porsche. The big Porsche battle in GTD Pro. What a success GTD Pro has been. Top four still disputing 3 steps of the podium. Pfaff, the series regulars, KCMG, the newcomers. There's a great story here, whatever happens for Porsche. And still in GT Le Mans, Jan Halen for Wright Motorsports there.
Those two GTD Pro leaders, absolutely. I mean, there was barely nothing between them as they headed toward turn one. Number two car looked to the outside. There's nowhere around there. Not on the lot on the previous lap, by the way, the two leading Acuras both set blue sector times in the final sector of the racetrack. That's from the Le Mans chicane to start.
Chance
finish.
Of a pass for the lead here, Jeremy, as the leader in LMP2 is among that. The two Porsches are side by side. And, well, that's very forceful driving from Colton Herta. But he really doesn't need to get in amongst this. They could all come off very badly here. He's gone round the outside at the Western Horseshoe. And danger is averted. So the two Porsches left to resume the battle. Dear me. Per Guidi, still 6 seconds back from that. I suspect he might have gained a little bit by the end of that lap.
Yeah, but he's not close. He's not going to catch him. He's best minutes. Running the same pace. Yeah, under 10 minutes is right.
So at the front of the field, the gap is 1.1 seconds. Castro Neves to Ricky Taylor. Yeah, for a while.
No, since the restart.
Yeah. Like Duval in third. Pipo Durrani, 2.2 seconds back. Ricky Taylor not really getting the benefit of those two tyres.
That was the gamble. It's cool out there. If you've got hot tyres on, they're certainly going to lose most of their temperature running under caution, no question about that. But he knows that the set of tyres works well. Elects not just to stick with what he's got.
Just watching Andy Lally. He's 12 and a half seconds back from Jan Halen. Yeah. I don't think that's going to be closed down, but that's a solid podium for Aston Martin.
Brilliant run for that team with a brand new car for Magnus Racing. Really good stint last evening by John Potter. Excellent stint by John. And since then, Andy Lally, his regular co-drivers there, Andy Lally and Spencer Pompelli.
Once again, at the front of the GTD field, there's prototypes going through. Comments, questions, points arising, hashtag Michelin PRT for the end. There's contact between the first two Porsches. Hello, I'm here. Hello, remember me? Yes.
That's an eight-wheel Porsche.
Yes, absolutely, Jeremy, absolutely right. Lawrence Vanter says to Matthew Jaminier, remember me? I'm still here. Don't think you can just drive away from me.
All of a sudden, a big gap for Elio Castro Neves.
3 seconds. And that is a big gap.
It was on the final sector, so I've got to presume perhaps the second place Acura maybe held up a little bit through the Le Mans chicane, John.
And that makes it interesting for Loic Duval, who now is only a second away from second place as the two Porsches bounce their way and porpoise their way through the Le Mans chicane. Two identical cars, two great teams, and two fabulous drivers. From a mark that is almost inextricably linked with this race when you think up the road at Jacksonville Brumos and how many times they've been represented here. And the mouth-watering prospect of a GTP class Porsche here next year to dispute the overall victory. But for the moment, the venerable 911 is waving the flag for Stuttgart and for Weissach and for the GT department at Flacht. 6.5 to go. 3.6 seconds the lead. Elio Castro Neves and Ricky Taylor. Loic Duval under a second now from second position. Loic Duval with nothing between him and the number 10 car. They've got a wee bit of traffic as they come underneath us now. Traffic ahead, Ricky Taylor, danger as he has to pass other cars, and Loic Duval takes a very wide line into turn one, too wide, and goes off the circuit for a moment onto the dusty stuff on the outside. That's how hard Duval is trying in the Mustang sampling car, but it is one of the G-Drive cars that was slowing up just slightly. That cost Ricky Taylor a little time as well.
Oh, what happened to Mikkel Jensen? The number 52 car has been overtaken by the number 29 car, and with that off for the number 8 when Colton Herder made his move into the Le Mans chicane, the number 8 car, is all the way down in third position, and Guido Vandergaard in second, but he's not going to catch Colton Herder. He's 9 seconds behind him.
But that's a great run for Guido, though, because they stopped really late in that caution for a splash of fuel, don't forget.
Yeah, you started at the back of that pack.
To the outside for Lawrence Vanto. Now the cutback out to turn one. Oh, this is as close as been. They're side by side. They almost touch through the chicane. And it looks like KCMG go through. There's a little bit of Porsche bodywork in the air. Oh, block pass by the KCMG number two. And Lawrence Vantor leads, but for how long? Now it's the Faf car on the outside into the kink. This could end badly for both of them. And eventually the Faf car has to give way. Leaned on, broken into.
Yeah.
That was a smash and grab by the number two. Fantastic stuff from those two very experienced drivers, both Porsche drivers, of course. Porsche factory drivers, formerly teammates here at this race. Lawrence Vantor, Mathieu Jaminet. Vantor takes the lead. That was all into, or out of turn one rather, side by side into the International Horseshoe. Now let's see if the KCMG car has got any more performance. Side by side through that chicane's always going to be dicey.
Yeah.
Almost banging wheels, Jeremy. Well, that could have been disaster for both of them. There was two little nibbles there.
Yeah, I mean, the number two car could have given the number nine car more road coming out of turn two there. He elected not to. It pushed the number nine car onto the grass. So the number nine car, driven by Mathieu Jaminet, said, "I'm having none of that, thank you very much. We might be good buddies, we might be Porsche factory teammates, but I'm not having any of that, so I'm going to have another go at you."
Did try to give him a little bump and run, Mathieu Jaminet, once he'd been past, it was the block pass into the horseshoe there. There was a little bump that just pushed the KCMG car wide and allowed the Faf car back up on the inside. Well, there's paint being traded there, I think it's fair to say.
Absolutely
it's
right.
It's not finished out. And the KCMG car then back under threat again, down at the same part of the circuit. So can Jaminet do to Vantor what Vantor did to Jaminet last time around? 2¾ minutes left in the race.
And now the Ferrari is 4 seconds behind that little pair there.
Well, I didn't think he would catch them, but Jeremy, this could be throwing away a win for Porsche if these two come together.
Yeah, it's still 4 seconds. You're going to make up 4 seconds. Let's have a big whoopsie out there. But it'll be white flag next time around for our race leader.
It's on the same straight.
It's on the same straight, indeed.
Coming out of the Western Horseshoe. White flag next time around for the leader, says Jeremy Shaw. Where is our leader at the moment? Going up onto the high banks. He's got to pass these two again. The two Porsches that are battling. Oh, my goodness. All of a sudden, the Porsche Cup race has broken out in the last 17 hours of this race. It seems that these two have been disputing it. Great story. The team new to IMSA Racing and Faf, who have been here for a very long time, made a good case for either of them winning. Porsche wins out, of course. And in GTD, Jan Heerlen now 13 seconds to the good for Wright Motorsports Porsche, the 16 light blue car for Andy Lally for Magnus Racing, their first outing in the Vantage GT3. He's got 7.5 seconds over Scott Andrews in third. And EF Corsa a further 16 seconds back from the last step on the podium. Big, big sideways slide going into turn one for the leader in GTD Pro, Lawrence Vantor. Last lap for the leader. Now, has the leader gone past these guys? No, he has not yet. So they might have one more go at it. And it's side by side in the Faf car at the same place that he lost the lead, gets it back again. It's changed again. And Vantor has to do it all over again. Jaminet coming out of the International Horseshoe manages to elbow his way back to the lead. Oh, well, there's a little bit of a bump and run again at the western end of the infield, side by side. Surely not round the outside of turn six. This could end in tears for Porsche. The Ferrari's closing in, and they may yet have one more lap, these two. They have not yet seen the white flag.
I was wondering whether there were some team orders here. The number two car is not going for the championship, the overall championship, certainly this season. The number nine car most emphatically is, but judging by the way they were banging each other down there, no, perhaps not.
They've both got a number two illuminated on their number panels at the moment, so they were both second across the line. I've no clue how that happened. The leader is not that far behind them, and they're off the track. And the Le Mans chicane, they're both off the track right in front of the leader. Elio Castroneves has to go through, and there goes the Ferrari. KCMG are down to third, and that slowed up the leader. That's an opportunity, maybe, for Ricky Taylor. He was 3 seconds behind. Now, that will be looked at. Will there be an opportunity for Ricky Taylor? The checkered flag is out, and the 60th Rolex 24 hours of Daytona goes to Acura and MSR with Kerb Agajanian. The quest for four has been thwarted. The run ends at three and Pfaff win in GTD Pro. Second is going to be the Ferrari of Alessandro Pergini, Risi Competizione, and Lawrence Vanto limps the KCMG car home by just a couple of seconds to keep Vasser Sullivan's Lexus off the podium in GT Daytona. Jan Halen for Wright Motorsports Porsche wins it. Aston Martin Vantage, Magnus Racing, Aston Martin on the podium for the first time at this race. They've been trying for pretty much all of my life, since 1964. The first time they came here, and the British brand, the cool brand, is on the podium. Magnificent by Magnus. In LMP2, Colton Herta survives. Brilliant run for Dragon Speed ahead of Racing Team Nederland and Tower Motorsport. And in LMP3, Riley from Sean Creech Motorsport and Core Autosport. Let's hear from some of the winners. Shay Adam.
Tom Blomqvist, first Daytona, and you get a Rolex. How are the emotions right now?
Man, I'm speechless. I never would have guessed. I mean, you always dream, you know, we dreamt of it. You know, we were quietly confident. But, you know, this race was up and down, left and right, all the time. I mean, you know, I got in the car at times and I was like, man, I can't drive this thing. It's a struggle. And then at times, you know, the thing was just the rocket ship. And I was just really in the rhythm. And, you know, they wanted to keep me into the end, but I was cooked. I was absolutely cooked. So, Helios won many big races in his time.
Thank you, Tom.
So,
good job.
Yeah, he was a good guy to have take it to the flag. So, I'm speechless. I never would have, you know.
Does this make up for the time that you couldn't get here?
More. This makes up for everything. I mean, yeah.
Eric Lux and Elton Julian. Don't go, Elton. Eric, what a moment.
Man, I've been trying to win this watch since 2005. I've spent half my life chasing this. And finally came together thanks to Dragon Speed and Elton Julian, the fantastic crew, and my fantastic teammates, Pato O'Ward, Colton Herta, and Devlin DeFrancesco. I'm in shock.
This man I've seen turn grey before my very eyes. Let me get a word with Elton Julian, who's been hugged to death right now. Elton, now that's character building.
Yes, sir, it is. I'll take that.
Yeah,
I'll take that. Nah, it's good racing.
I watch you go grey, mate, before my very eyes, and they'll find the laugh.
And hey, it's racing. I love it.
Brilliant. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
They are climbing the fence for Meyer Shank Racing to celebrate this win. Trying to find the boss man, because this is now the second time that he's gotten to do this. Thanks to Elio Castroneves crossing the finish line. And Mike gets in there with Elio. Big hug. It's a familiar sight here. I'm definitely jumping in. Mike, 10 years since you won this great race. Second time you've gotten to climb a fence on a banking. What are the emotions?
There's so many. So grateful for so many people. My wife, Jamire, and his family, AutoNation, Sirius XM, Honda Acura family that have done nothing but support us. And I'm just so grateful. I'm so thankful. And we got a hot rod drivers. Elio got to climb a fence again. And I'm just grateful for everybody and everything.
It bodes well again for the Indy 500 if you believe in fate.
It's a big deal. Going for five, and I'm lucky to be a part of it. That's it.
Congratulations, Mike.
Brilliant stuff. Parked up on the Trioval, the Spider-Man and the Spider Team. Do the things the Spider Team do, apparently. Meyer Shank Racing, the Sirius XM, AutoNation, Acura, the number 60, and Elio Castroneves brought it home. Was never under threat. Now, in GTD Pro, contact in the Le Mans chicane on the what was effectively their last lap, which has cost KCMG a shot at victory, and they finish up in third position. Robust driving just on the right side, Jeremy.
Yeah, it was certainly robust driving. It was a, it was desperate driving is what it was. And, you know, they both, they were banging wheels. I think, yeah, they both gave it to each other on that, in that instance. The number two car is on the outside. It's going to be awfully difficult to make a move there on the outside, but the, yeah, he just turned into the corner and the two made contact around he went.
Shea Adam is on the tri-oval with Helio Castroneves, winner of the 60th Rolex 24 at Daytona.
Well, Helio, climbing the fence at Daytona, how does this one rank?
Oh, my God, this is incredible. I mean, I cannot thank, again, everyone from Maya Schenk Racing, Auto Nation Series XM, Arctic Wolf, the entire Acura people. They gave me an amazing car, and I just make it happen. I had amazing teammates, Tom, Oliver, and Simon. I mean, what a great, incredible race. It was very tough. I knew my friend Ricky was right behind. I knew his strength. I said, okay, I never show him all I know. I never taught you all I know. But in the end of the day, it was a tough, tough tour to the end of the race there.
Congratulations. A watch for each wrist.
Thank you. Woohoo!
Tell you how special that is. Shea Adam was running without anybody chasing her to get that interview for Helio Castroneves. Well done, Shea. Joe Bradley is still in the pit lane trying to find the GTD Pro and GTD winners. Joe, where are you?
Yeah, it's as you would imagine, chaos. People running around heading to Winner's Circle. John, I'm going to try and get to the right motorsport garage and find someone to talk to us and give us their feelings.
Just incredible, incredible as far as that finish was concerned. The celebrations are brilliant. That GTD Pro, well, new for 2022 GTD Pro. Hello, thank you very much. We'll have some more of that. And what a great DPI race to finish the DPI's career, if you like, Jeremy, here at the Rolex 24. They've got the rest of this season next year, GTP new cars, but what entertainment that class has given us down through the years.
Yeah, magnificent. That was just tremendous racing, and what a fast pace. The lap record was beaten several times during this race. Yeah, more than a half a second inside it at the end of the day, and what a wonderful event.
No action taken for the battle at the front of GTD Pro, so the result stands with Pfaff Motorsport from Rissi Competizione and KCMG on the third step of the podium. Just to confirm, GTD Wright Motorsport Porsche from Magnus Racing in the Aston Martin Vantage, their first go with Aston, and they put the British mark on the podium for the first time since 1964. Gilbert Courtauld Motorsport Mercedes AMG GT3 since 1964. Aston have been coming here and they get it with a first time team for them. But Jan Halen brought the Wright Motorsport 16 car home, and Shea Adam is with him now.
Jan Halen, Rolex winner. How does that sound? The emotions right now are just overwhelming. You've won Sebring, you've won major championships as of last year. Now you get a watch on your wrist. It's got to feel amazing.
Yeah, just so happy for the team, you know. We've come here so many times, and I feel like we've hit every step of the podium, and but never the top step, so just super happy for the team, and really special to be a part of all this. Just really happy.
Great start for the championship too. First place points. I know that you're thinking about points already. Congrats.
Yeah, thank you.
Shea, what a year it's been for Jan Halen. What a 12 months for him in his personal life and in his racing life as well. Fantastic stuff. The raw emotion of live sport is magnificent. Let's go to Joe Bradley down with the Cunningham and Nolte team and their rookie of this race, Will Stevens.
Any other race series, Will, we wouldn't be disappointed with second, but there's something about coming second here.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we came here to win, so anything apart from that, we're going to be disappointed. So, yeah, it's going to hurt for a while, for sure. Ricky did the best job he could, so, you know, we should be proud of what we did. Obviously, we wanted to get the win for everyone here, but congrats to Acura for the first and second, and it's a great result for those guys.
And it's so close, isn't it? Well, we'll walk this way. This is where you've got ahead. It's so close, and it could have come either way. It was the way the pit stops were flipping and flapping backwards and forwards between you guys.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's why IMSA is so great. You know, everyone's super close at the end, especially with those late yellows. It was going to be close to being a fuel-save race. But because that last yellow stayed out for a while, everyone was full gas to the end. So it was exciting. Obviously, we weren't on the correct side of that, but we'll keep pushing. Hopefully, we can go one more in Sebring.
Commiserations for second place, Will Stevens.
Sorry, mate.
Shit, Adam, looking for the GTD Pro winners right at the end. The run through, how appropriate that the newly named Le Mans chicane with Porsche and the history that they have at Daytona and Le Mans decides between two Porsche cars who goes to victory lane for GTD Pro. Shea Adam is searching for the Pfaff Motorsports team.
Felipe Nasr, Rolex winner. You finished second twice overall, a winning class, and your first time finally. How good does it feel?
I'm lost for words. I've been trying so hard to win this race, and I don't know, since I've been coming here, first time in 2012 and came close in, I feel, 18 and 19, and finally being able to do the first time driving for Porsche here. And having those two aces in the car, they did an incredible job. Matt Campbell and Mr. Jaminet there, they were fantastic all weekend. What a last lap. That was incredible what he did. And I'm just so happy we finally did it. And so happy for all of our sponsors, Pfaff Motorsports, and everybody that worked so hard. Finally, you know, finally got into victory lane, and I'm just, you know, I just have to sink it in.
Perfect record as a Porsche factory driver. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's a professional Porsche driver there, and listen to that emotion. Yeah. This is not just another race. This is not just another job.
Yeah, it's fantastic, isn't it? It does mean so much to these drivers. There's so much history at this event. This is the 60th running of one of the greatest races in the world. This is one of the classic endurance events and has been now for 60 years. So that is something you want to get your name on.
Joe is with the second place GTD Pro team. Ricci Competizione back to IMSA again, and Davide Rigon.
Yeah, John, we're just being run over by the winning car before I can get a word with
Well, that's how he got
Davide.
The lead, in fairness. So.
Let's grab Davide while we can. Davide, second place. So I'm talking to people for second place, and I'm saying commiserations, but hey, second place at 24 hours of Daytona, that's something.
Yeah, of course, it's our second time in the second place. We really hope to be on top this time, but we give everything, absolutely. So we're pretty happy, all for us, Daniel, James, and Ale, especially the best. So thanks to Risi Competizione and Ferrari, and we come back stronger next time.
Did you realize that what was going on ahead of you, those two Porsches trying their best to knock each other out?
Oh, yes, of course. We was looking at everything. Hard racing. Let's see what they decide, the steward, but we did our best, actually, and nothing more. That's it.
David, you are second. I've been told that, so that's the official. So, again, commiserations for second, guys. Seems odd.
Davide Rigon, oh, brilliant stuff. Pushing on. Did you know what was happening up ahead? Yes, of course. I was giving it everything. We're going to sign off here at Daytona. Our very great thanks to Mike and the team here on the PA. The formalities are about to start down in Victory Lane. Great thanks to everybody here. We'll continue for the world feed on RS2. Thank you to everyone here for making us so welcome again. And now for the formalities here at Daytona from IMSA Radio for you here at the track. Thanks. Safe journey home. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. So we'll carry on for the audience on the international feed and on the video feed. We'll take a quick breather and we'll be back for PRT, Post Race Tech, Michelin, Post Race Tech. Hello to Malcolm Cracknell. He says, brilliant last hour. You're not wrong there, crackers. We'll take a breath. Back in a moment. Don't go away.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.